I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
My name is Kit.
And I'm Steve.
And this is Streaming Things, a TV and film podcast where we talk about a variety of different TV shows and film properties. And sometimes the patrons are able to mandate that we watch a particular movie. This one was selected by, I believe, Stephen, the fifth of his name.
Stephen the fifth.
And it is Gremlins 2, The New Batch. We talked about Gremlins, the first one, I don't know, 2-3 months ago? I don't know when that was.
Yeah, it was a couple months ago. It was on Patreon. Go check it out. It was a very fun episode.
Was that a patron-only episode?
It was, yeah. I think it was a poll winner, if I remember correctly.
You are better at remembering those types of things.
Somehow.
Sure. But they just wanted more hot Gremlins action.
Yeah.
Gremlins 2 is typically more beloved of the two. It's a little wilder. A little zanier.
Yeah. Is it really?
Amongst film nerds, I'd say so. Yeah.
I know on IMDb, Gremlins 2 ranks lower than the first one on IMDb, at least.
Really?
Yeah. I think the first one has like a 7.3 and this one has like a 6.8.
Maybe.
So it's not a big disparity, but
talking out my ass like Ace Ventura. Mm. And it's just amongst like the film nerds that this movie is appreciated. And so I've got a bias there.
Maybe. I don't know. Like, write in. I would love to hear other people's opinions on whether they prefer one or two.
I don't want to hear other people's
opinions. Old batch or new batch.
Just listen to me. This is, this is my show.
That's true. Yeah.
No one else's opinion here.
No. Not even mine.
Least of all, Steve.
Least of all, Steve. Get out of here, you asshole.
What did you think about? Never mind. Just remembered, I don't care. But you can join that crew and be a part of the Discord, the big family, the stream fiends by going to patreon.com/streamingthings and subscribing at a variety of tiers. You'll notice in the show notes, there's a new merch store link. It's been updated. A whole bunch of extra fun merch. If you've got a little extra cheddar and you want to splurge on a cool hat that looks like the one I wear, or maybe a nice shirt.
Yeah, there really is a hat. The people at West River Printing Company, they made some great merch, including a hat that looks like Kit's famous A24 hat, but it has Streaming Things on it.
And we're working on undies. We are hard at work. We know everybody posts the merch that they're wearing in our Discord.
Oh, that would be a nightmare.
It's just my way of having a good time.
I can just hear the mods right now going, no.
Technically.
Actually, I can hear.
It's game.
I can hear Garrett and Jessica from West River going, no. I don't want to make undies.
Yes. Just message me privately. Don't worry about Steve. We got this.
In my opinion, doesn't matter.
We talked about this earlier. We're getting undies. But yeah, we're talking about Gremlins 2 today, and I'm really excited about this because it's a wonky movie, a wild movie.
Absolutely.
And I got to tell you, Steve, I do be creeping the LBXD. I live on Letterboxd.
You do.
So I got a little sneak peek at how you feel about this film.
Yeah.
What's your history with Gremlins 2, The New Batch? And what was it like watching it this week for the show?
All right. I have to be honest with you. I've never seen Gremlins 2 in the
Oh, really?
Never seen it. I like everyone.
You never do that on your first viewing. You broke your rule.
So it's for some context, everyone would always joke like Gremlins 2, arguably the best Gremlins. Mm-hmm. And I would always kind of play along with it because I think that's a fun bit. But honestly, I didn't know because I've never seen Gremlins 2. I all I knew about Gremlins 2 was that the Gremlins are back and they're back in a city. And I knew there was like a news station at one point that they were in. Like there was like a frame in my mind of the brain gremlin being interviewed on a TV set. Like that's the thing I always think of when this movie would come up. But I'd never seen it before because the first Gremlins is a fun movie, but it's not one I watch a lot. I'm not super in like... I like that movie. I like Gremlins, but it's not like one of those like, oh, I got to go back and watch Gremlins. So I was never, I didn't have the incentive to go watch Gremlins 2. But Stephen the Fifth was like, hey, man, I want to hear you guys' opinions on Gremlins 2. I assume he put this in after our Gremlins 1 coverage. And Kit, I got to tell you, and this is something that Kit's been alluding to. This movie was maybe... I made a joke on Threads. What the fuck is Gremlins 2 The New Batch, my new favorite movie of all time? Because I fucking love this movie unironically. This movie, as if it was like if someone brought up ChatGPT and was like, here are all the things that make Steve Steve and the things that Steve likes. Make a movie about that. And ChatGPT was like, okay, we're going to have a little puppet gremlins. We're going to have Robert Picardo from Star Trek Voyager. We're going to have Christopher Lee from Star Wars. We're going to have fucking Hulk Hogan. We're going to have
we're going to have
a really big meta joke about movie theaters and movie reels in there somewhere. It's going to be real weird, real silly, self-referential, in on the joke. And literally, I think Joe Dante took the, because we talked about this in our first Gremlins coverage. The best scene of the first Gremlins is that scene when they're all at the bar being just weird.
Oh, all the different like iterations of Gremlin.
Just being weird little Gremlins and Phoebe Cates is there just like, okay, fine. I'll serve you for some reason. She's still working.
Yeah.
That's such an oddball scene, but it's the best one. So it's like Joe Dante was like, I'm going to make a movie. But it's that scene for an hour and a half. And then they inject really smart, like dystopian sci-fi tropes about like late stage capitalism in there with how the building is meant to operate. And like the company, the Clamp, which is like also a clear Donald Trump metaphor, the Clamp guy. And it all works for me. It's so funny. Like I was laughing my ass off by myself when I watched this movie. I immediately called Erica when it was done. I'm like, I think I just watched my favorite movie of all time. Like I literally had, and I'm trying to like tell her all the things that I liked about the movie, like the funny scenes. And she's like, this all happened in the same movie. And it's like, yeah,
bizarrely,
it's
yes.
Wild. So much happens in this. Like, seriously, it's a whole new world for me now, Kit. Move over, Princess Jasmine. You're not the only one on this magic carpet ride. Mm-hmm. All right. And I probably in a couple weeks, if I'm honest, I'll probably take away half a star to a star on my OBXD review. But I just wanted to live. I just wanted to exist in this Gremlins 2 post-nut clarity a little longer.
Yeah.
So like I'm just basking in the glory that was this movie. I had such a great time. I can't wait to talk about it with you. But what did you think about Gremlins 2, The New Batch?
I mean, Gremlins 2 is a lot of fun. There's no doubt about it. This was, I think the first one played on TV a lot more as a kid, especially around Christmas time. It's got the whole more of a thematic relevance to the culture. Mm-hmm. But Gremlins 2 is kind of legendary. Isn't it true that Joe Dante didn't really want to do a sequel? And so he kind of had this attitude of like, I'll do it, but you're not going to like it. And
yes, so I was doing research and apparently Warner Brothers immediately wanted to make a sequel because Gremlins was super successful. But in Joe Dante's point of view, like when they wrote Gremlins and directed Gremlins, like the story's done. Mm-hmm. Like there's no way you can make a sequel to this and it be better. But Warner Brothers didn't really understand why this movie was successful, but they wanted him to do it. So he's like, I'm not going to. So he walked away from it. Warner Brothers spent years trying to come up with ideas. Like I read at one point, the script had the Gremlins 2 taking place on Mars, and Las Vegas and all these random ideas. And then finally they were like, they went back to Joe Dante like 7 years later. Cause I think the first one's in 84 and this one came out in 90. So 6 years later, sorry, math. And, Joe Dante's like, okay, I'll do it, but I have full creative control. Like, that's what he said. Like, I'm going to have full creative control and I'll do it. And they're like, okay, cool. Cause you made the first one and we love what you made. And that's why like so much of this is off the wall crazy. Cause he was doing whatever the fuck he wanted. And yeah, he just wanted to have fun.
And it works.
Yeah,
it does. You got the electroshock gremlin,
yep,
the bat gremlin, like all of the different toys from the Splice of Life that make things extra crazy in this movie. Either works or doesn't for you. For me, it does work.
Yeah.
Did Stephen V write in about why he chose this film?
Stephen V did write in. Very brief. Stephen wrote, "The movie is insane. Joe Dante didn't want to make it, but after the studio kept pushing him, he finally caved. His only ask was that he'd need full creative control. As a result, the movie is bonkers. I would definitely watch the Key and Peele sketch before you record. Can't wait to listen." Did you?
Didn't do that. I didn't read that message from him. No.
Do you want me to bring it up?
Yeah, cue it.
Let's cue it.
5 minutes later.
We're back. We're sorry, Steven. We had to take a break to watch the skit. I'd never seen that before, AG Steve.
No, I have not.
That had to be what the actual writing process of this movie was like. I love Key and Peele so much.
Key and Peele is great. If, for those of you who haven't seen it, it's literally just the writer's room trying to come up with ideas for Gremlins 2 and Jordan Peele walks in and he's like, everyone makes their own gremlin. And they're all just like, can I have a electric gremlin? And he's like, you talk about a gremlin that becomes a lightning bolt and just zips around in the room. It's in the movie.
That's right.
And it's
you just said noun and gremlin, like you're playing Mad Libs. Like it was built for our podcast.
It's a very great skit. Go check it out. We got to sit
10 feet from Jordan Peele for about 20 minutes one time.
I could have touched him.
You could have. That would have been illegal.
Yeah.
Or at least frowned upon.
But I thought about it.
You should have.
I should.
I remember when Chartel Copley walked by, you were like,
I kind of went, no.
You would have. It would have been his butt.
It would have been.
At the where you were sitting.
Could you imagine?
Chartel Copley's butt?
Could you imagine?
Many times
Chappie's
I have.
Butt? Chappie's got a butt?
Chappie's got a butt. Chap that ass. Yeah, it's a wild fucking movie. It should honestly, it's movies like this that for our podcast, like we can take something like The Other Sister and make it Gremlins 2 on the podcast.
Yeah.
But something like Gremlins 2 it almost just becomes a normal conversation. You know what I mean? It cancels it out, like how two negatives.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah. So this is going to be a boring episode is what you're saying.
It's just my theory.
Yeah, just turn it. Like turn out.
Forrest Gump, you know, The Other Sister.
There is in no way can this episode be boring because like in this episode.
Saving Private Ryan, that would be a good convo.
Sure. But I argue this will be a good convo because at one point in the recap, at some point, we're going to have to say Christopher Lee is disappointed that he didn't get malaria. And that will be a thing that happened in the movie.
That's early on.
Yeah.
That's early on. Well, let's dive into the new batch. And it starts, by the way, the Looney Tunes WB intro was a jump scare for me.
Really?
They don't do that anymore.
No, they don't.
And I was like, what is going on now?
I'm glad they don't.
It's a whole lot of dubba, 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 dubba.
Do you like Looney Tunes?
I am not particularly a Looney Tunes fan.
Neither am I.
I don't know about that.
Marvin the Martian?
Marvin the Martian.
That's a pretty good Marvin Martian.
My name is Marvin.
Oh.
For no reason.
From Martian.
I will kill you.
Oh, yeah. That's threatening.
I can do the voice, but I do not know what he says.
Rabbit. Probably at one point.
I will get the bunny. And fuck it.
Bad bunny.
Bad bunny?
I'm a huge fan.
Anyway, I was just kind of thrown off by that because it's very obnoxious. They were leaning on that, you know?
It went on a long time.
Well, fast forward to nowadays, they canceled the Looney Tunes movie that was completely finished and was supposed to be great.
Oh, I really want to see the Coyote versus Acme.
Yeah, scrapped it for a tax cut. I want
to see that and so
back
bad.
Then, it was like their whole fucking brand, you know? They're like, now we're just a W and a B. Mm. Actually, we're not even that. Discover.
We're Max. Oh, we're Discover. Yeah, I forgot. Fuck Discover.
And then it opens up with like some rich guys. It's later. It's was it Kellerman or some shit? It's the head of security is one of them, but they show
Forrester?
Up. Forrester? Sure.
Forrester? You're talking about Robert Picardo's character, right? The guy who the gremlin loves at the end?
Yes.
Yeah, that's Forrester.
And you say he was in Star Trek?
Yeah, he plays the doctor in Star Trek Voyager. He's one of the best Trek characters ever because he's just a prickly, like, I have no time to take care of you. I'm a very busy hologram. Hmm. Like, he's not even a real person. He's just a robotic hologram that appears as a human.
How does he treat people then? How does he touch them?
Because in Star Trek, holograms can touch people, but it's a whole thing. Yeah, it's a whole thing.
Hold up now.
But yeah, he's also, fun fact, rewind. Remember when we did Legend, the movie Legend?
How could I forget?
Remember the part where there's like that swamp witch that attacks Tom Cruise and is like,
yes,
that's Robert Picardo. That is Robert Picardo. Yep.
Wow.
Yeah. The man has range is what I'm saying. Wow. The man has range.
And he fucks a gremlin in this.
Clearly does.
I just
want
to throw that out there.
Yeah. He's in. Yeah. I mean, he's scared at first, but he knows what he likes.
He's kind of like, eh.
He's like, I'm into it.
I love that they ended it. And we'll get there. What the fuck? So the rich guys show up to the Asian man's shop from the first movie.
Mr. Wing.
They bring a TV instead of like a phone, or nowadays it would just be like an iPad. You could Zoom call or, you know, FaceTime. Back then they had to like cart a TV and a VHS there. And that was the high tech.
How are they getting the signal is how I want to know.
They don't need it. What do you mean?
Oh, it was recorded. That's right.
Yeah.
It's pre-recorded. It wasn't a live Zoom call.
You were a silly goose.
I am a silly goose.
They want to develop on his property, I think. They build a high rise there.
Yeah. So their boss is Daniel Clamp, who's a clear Donald Trump metaphor, but he wants to create the Clamp Chinatown Center where business gets oriented. LOL. Mm. But Mr. Wing, I guess, is the last holdout in the block and he's not selling his property.
What about his grandson?
Yeah. What happened to that kid?
Apparently he didn't inherit the shop.
No.
After losing Gizmo in the first movie, he got taken out of the will.
I guess he's like, you gave Gizmo to those people. I told you not to do that. You are going to hell.
We needed money, Grandpa. Well, now guess who's not getting none of mine?
Well, you're not getting food. You need food more than money.
That's right. And then they're super racist because he tells them a bit of wisdom. And the one guy's like, was that Confucius or Bruce Lee? Mm-hmm. Anyway, he's like, the answer's still no, right?
Keep the TV.
Gizmo, however, fucks with the TV.
He loves it.
He's watching Rambo. What? I don't know if that's First Blood. I think it's First Blood Part 2.
Part 2.
Part 2. I think it's the zany sequel itself, which would be meta.
To survive war, you gotta become war.
And then they go outside and then they're like, we'll just wait for him to die. It's no big deal. And then he fucking does, like, yeah, 6 weeks later.
I didn't see that coming. You hear him coughing and it's like, we'll just wait for him. And then smash cut 6 weeks later.
I feel like they poisoned him.
They could have.
Because 6 weeks later, they're like developing already. So he had to have died like a week later.
Well, he might have been in the hospital. They're like, any moment now, we can just start deconstructing all the other buildings around him. And as soon as he croaks,
and they don't even,
they don't wait. Like,
no,
like no one went in there and
they don't even clear out the stuff.
No, they don't clear out the stuff.
He's got to run from the crane.
And I do, the puppeteering,
Daniel Clamp style.
The puppeteering of Gizmo is really impressive. Like all the puppeteering.
Well, there's some actual like effects in this one too sometimes.
Yeah. But I mean, even like his face is so emotive. It's almost creepy,
yeah,
in the way how emotive his face
is. I used to want a Gizmo so bad. I said that last time we did Gremlins 1.
You wanted a Furby?
He's so cute.
He is cute.
I never had a dog or anything when I was a kid, so I just wanted a Gizmo. I won't get it wet.
I promise. I won't feed it after midnight.
But there could have been some valuables in there. It just seemed really irresponsible.
Absolutely. I mean, it just goes to show that like the corporate interests don't care about the cultural interests.
That's true. That is so true. But then Lewis and his friend, we later find out as Martin, find something weird. It's Gizmo. We cut to Billy and Kate in the big city. They've got big city jobs.
Wow. They moved out of the small town and now in the big city, the Big Apple.
I mean, it was pretty close by because that's where they bought Gizmo. Oh, no. Dad was traveling.
Yeah. Dad's a traveling inventor / salesman.
Oh, that's true. That's true. The revolving door immediately. The Clamp Tower has some kind of wild, it's like his dad's invention kind of vibes, you know, right off the bat. It's like a bunch of stuff that doesn't really work.
I love this idea. So it's the world's first automated office building where like all of your needs are automated. And the way they illustrate this whole building is so, it's great satire. Like there's a bit where it's like, oh, your light turned off because you haven't moved around. It thinks you left for the day and turned off. But the turnstile, the revolving door gag got me every time. Because they keep cutting to it where people are like either stuck in there.
Or they're working on it.
Or they're working on it. Or at the very end when the police try to get in, one police just smashes into it and falls over.
And they go to the other revolving door and then finally the regular door.
Got me every time.
I I actually thought it was like an interesting plot twist that Clamp's not really a bad guy.
No, he just seemingly is this
uninvolved with his company. And
yeah, he's like, and he's so removed from the world in this ivory tower of the empire he's made that he really is just, he just wants human connection, but it doesn't know what that is or how to get it.
Cause like Forrester sucks.
Oh yeah.
Marla sucks.
Yeah.
And they've got this whole vibe of pinching pennies and firing people for taking a 2-minute break. And, you know, and then you finally meet Clamp and it seems like an act at first. And then eventually he's like, actually wants to save the city. I mean, for his own PR
He's a selfish guy, but they depict him as bad. He's a useful idiot in a way.
Yes.
Yeah.
I just thought that was interesting.
Which, you know, yeah, good parallel.
Is he useful?
To Russia.
Got him.
Ba-doom. Get in the comments.
But and then, they want to get married, but they're waiting until, you know, they get their lives a little more squared away, get a little more money. They're both poor. She's like the tour guide leader and he's some kind of architect, but not a very well paid one, apparently.
Wasn't he a banker beforehand? But he did like drawing comic books, right?
He was a banker, but he was like a teller. It's just a job.
Yeah.
He wasn't like career bank man. And then they attack him for drawing his old town. It's unauthorized art. We need approved genius art like this. And it's just like a square and a dot. It's modern art.
I love that whole thing. Like this company has spent good money for authorized art by actual known artists for employees to enjoy. And it's just like one of those very abstract, like here's a circle, here's a square. And then he pulls his potted plant, like, ooh, possible aphid infestation. Nope. Mm-hmm.
We want to make this look like a flea market.
Yeah.
What if everybody just decorated their cubicle? You know, no soul, no life in this place.
Stupid.
And Marla needs a Xanax. She is freaking out, chain smoking cigarettes. You almost got us in trouble. Get your shit together, Billy.
Billy, this attitude isn't working for me. Mm-mm.
And then we get the unauthorized break. It's the guy from The Burbs. What's his name? He's a very famous actor, but it's the dad from the evil family.
Oh, that's smoking?
That's the guy that gets fired for the unauthorized break period. Yeah. And you didn't recognize him?
No, the screen was so, you know, security screen. I didn't quite pick up what he was.
So fuzzy.
I do love they fire him and then the one person goes, we have a career opportunity on level 7. Yeah.
You got a new spot open. And then Kate is giving the Clamp tour. We find out that Fred, good old Fred, Mr. Dracula, got relegated to 3:30 a.m. I love the line because he's doing this like horror TV show, you know, introducing these classic horror films. They pushed him to the 3:30 a.m. slot.
I think the actor from The Munsters did something similar where that, like in character, he would it's spooky Saturday horror movie night.
I would if I was him.
Yeah.
I'd milk that shit for every penny it's worth.
And is this guy supposed to be Billy's grandfather?
I believe.
Do they call him Grandpa Fred at one point?
I don't remember. I'll be honest with you, man. Yeah. But I like the idea that they're trying to cheer him up about it. And he's like, people that watch TV at 3:30 in the morning ain't scared of the wolf man.
They're afraid of getting sober and getting a job.
Yeah. As somebody who watches TV at 3:30 a lot. Yes, very true. and then we see fucking beardless Christopher Lee.
What?
Wild jump scare. Man. I had no recollection of knowing who this man was. When he walked in, he just wants fresh germs, man.
I was cackling like, ooh, because his secretary's like, oh, Dr. Catheter is his name.
Sure.
Great name. Dr. Catheter, we've got your delivery. Ooh, is it my malaria? Oh, it's just rabies. I already have rabies and the flu is on back order. And just his secretary's like sneezing and he's like, can you give me that? And he just pockets her tissue that she sneezed in. Great introduction to a super weird character. And the fact that it's Christopher fucking Lee.
This is a full decade before he donned the robes of Saruman the Wise and Dooku.
Yeah.
Wild.
I love earlier Christopher Lee because he does weird ass shit.
This is only 2 decades after he was killing people. Well, it wasn't. He was in World War II, wasn't he?
Yeah, so it would have been like
40 years.
4 decades, yeah.
God, what an old man. What an old bastard.
I know.
That bastard was old.
He was old as fuck.
He was old as shit. Because he's already like, getting on his years here, and it's 1990.
Yeah.
When did he die?
Oh, I feel like it was like
recently,
the early
wasn't
2010s,
it?
I think.
No, really?
Christopher Lee, let me look it up. 2015.
Yeah, see?
Yeah, June 20.
He was cooking.
Mid-2010s.
Cooking another 25 years.
Yeah.
Gas.
Dude, he was born in 1922.
When did Saruman the Wise reason for madness?
When he took on a job at Spice O' Life, Inc.
Spice O' Life.
So the dude that took Gizmo work at this
Lewis
place. Yeah.
Or Martin.
One of the two.
Is Martin and Lewis, are they actual twins?
They are actual twins, yeah.
That's what I thought.
These actors are in, I think, Judgment Day, Terminator 2, Judgment Day.
Oh, he's the guy that plays the cop?
Yeah, that gets...
Or the...
That the cop
mimics. Stabs in the eye?
Maybe. I forget what happens to him, but they use them as twins, like the T-1000 mimics him.
Yeah.
And they use the twin T-1000. To be the mimic. Yeah.
Gizmo. Push too many pencils, Gizmo.
But they got Gizmo and they're like, hey, he really likes dancing. And they turn on a little music and there's this hilarious shot.
I fucking love this scene.
Gizmo's doing a little dance. The two twins are like bopping around happily. And Christopher Lee's just standing there like annoyed with it all.
Yeah. They hold it.
They hold it a long time.
It's great.
If you go on your phone right now and you get into your messaging app and you go into the gift section to send to someone and you write Gremlins 2, this shot will be one of them. And I let it play. Ever since I watched this movie, I bring it up sometimes and I just like, this is the best.
You want to just text it to me and that way you can look at it whenever you want?
Yeah, I'll do it right now. You know what
I mean? I'm so excited to do that. Yeah. What song is it again? It's like some old 50s rock, right?
60s rock. Yeah, it was supposed to be a Billy Idol song, but they couldn't afford the rights to it. So they just found a song that had the same beat. And I can't remember what the song was. I didn't write the name of that song down.
Clever Girl.
Clever
Girl. We could splice like Billie Eilish into it or something. That would actually be a fun like video to make, just putting a silly song in there.
Yeah.
Or like some, I don't know, Wu-Tang.
I'm the bad guy.
I'm just Ken. Any hoozle. Yeah, he's dancing his little heart out. I love Gizmo. He's cute. He likes to jam and he tries to run for it, but Dr. Catheter snatches him up. Don't try to run from me. And then this is where the lights turn off on Billy in his cubicle and it announces that it's to save energy because it thinks that he's left. So he has to move around to turn the lights back on. And then he hears Bob over there a whistling and it reminds him of Gizmo. So he asked him where he heard that. And he said, I was in the lab on the 53rd floor or whatever. So he runs to the lab to investigate, tells the front desk lady that he's there to fix the copy machine.
She's like, all right.
Yeah, whatever. I don't care. She's the one who can't stop coughing. She probably got sick from the lab, by the way. I think there's a running joke there that doesn't quite land. But we get a brief look at the bioelectric rats. that can turn on light bulbs, but also hurt when you touch them.
The stuff that they're making is so silly and cartoony. I love it.
Yeah.
Just like, we can power the whole city of New York with all the rats.
And it's just because, and they're just like renting out a space in this building. You know what I mean? Like, it's like this self-funded weirdo lab that's renting space in Clamp Tower. It's not even like this billionaire funded. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like,
I told you they would be a bad tenant.
Yeah, that's what makes it even funnier. But yes, they're bioelectric rats. And then he nabs up Gizmo and then they let out the monkeys. And for some reason, this got me, even though it's not that funny. But Alvin, put down that DNA. It just
yeah, I wrote that down too.
It did make me laugh.
Put down that DNA.
Gizmo gets put into the filing cabinet and he tells him to stay put. He'll be, as soon as he gets the clock out, he'll take him home. But at this point, Marla comes up, takes her glasses off first Clamp shows up, right?
Oh, yeah.
He loves Billy's drawing, yada, yada, yada. He mentions the trees as well, which is they told him to add trees, I think.
Yeah. And he's like, oh, get rid of those trees.
Yeah. And he's like, oh. That, by the way, fucking happens at work.
Yes.
And it is
so true.
It is a fucking nightmare.
So true.
Like, you gotta be okay. I'm so glad I don't work in office settings anymore.
I'm just dying a little inside. Thank you for that feedback.
Yeah. And then Gizmo keeps like popping open the filing cabinet and he says that, oh, the drawers are automatic in case I need something. And yeah. Clamp's like,
that's great.
What a silly idea.
One small thing I don't want to pass over is Gizmo has a black armband in memory of Mr. Wing.
Yeah.
It cracks me up because that was a thing people used to do is wear a black armband in memory of somebody.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I don't even remember that. I just accepted that Gizmo was doing that.
I had forgotten all about that was a thing. So when like, what's this little black armband, buddy? Oh, is that because your buddy died? It's fucking great.
Yes, Mr. Wayne.
Hysterical.
But at this point, because Marla is into the fact that he might be promoted mm-hmm. because Clamp seems to like Billy so much, she takes off her glasses. Classic 80s and 90s movie for it's time to be sexy because glasses can't be sexy. No,
you can't fucking glasses.
And I got to say, Marla's a fox.
You into it?
I am.
When she lets her hair down?
Yes.
Man.
And I'd like to smoke cigarettes with her all night.
You want to climb that corporate ladder with her?
Sure. But she comes on too strong. Plus, he's got Phoebe Cates.
Also, you know, her whole thing is like she wants to take him out to dinner in this career advancement window. And she's like, I know this chic restaurant downtown. It's Canadian. They clean the fish right at your table.
They got chocolate, a literal chocolate mousse.
Yeah.
They clean the fish right at your table. That sounds lovely. And why doesn't he just turn her down? He's got a fiance. He's got a fucking alien in his cabinet that is super dangerous and will kill people if it gets out.
Well, how else will Gizmo get wet and have a plot?
I know it's just a silly movie, but the fact that he just left Gizmo in the filing cabinet mm-hmm. drove me nuts.
It is.
After what happened last time.
It's mad. Billy's dumb because they also play it like Billy's oblivious to the fact that Marlo's like hitting on him.
Yeah. Oh, okay. We'll just go to a meeting and it'll be fine. And then she gives him a foot job and he's like, oh,
that's not part of the itinerary.
God damn it. I had no idea.
I do love the, because I actually watching this movie.
Does Kate ever call him out for having lipstick on his cheek?
She says something like, if we survive tonight, you're going to be in real big trouble.
That's it though, right?
Yeah, that's it.
Oh man. Yeah,
cause I think when she meets up with Marla, Marla's like, listen, doll, I don't,
I tried it.
I tried it.
But I was going to suck his soul out.
just like a golf ball through a garden.
Just
hose.
On the off chance that he had a dollar someday,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
but he wasn't having it.
But watching this movie, I actually am reminded of American Psycho pretty often.
Yeah.
Because of course it's the 80s, it's New York. Let's go to a weird themed restaurant that everyone has to go to. And I just love that they kind of play with that idea and make it like a Canadian themed restaurant. It's so funny.
Want some horn?
Yeah. I love the waiters are dressed as Mounties.
You honestly would love that restaurant.
I would. Yeah. I would love it so bad.
Let's go there again, eh?
Yeah. The Mountie always gets his man.
That's right. This episode of Streaming Things is sponsored by BetterHelp. What's the first thing you'd do if you had an extra hour in your day?
Sleep.
You would sleep more.
More, yeah.
Okay, sleep that's more. Fair. Some people might go for a run, read an extra book. A lot of us spend our whole lives wishing we had more time. The question is, time for what? If time was unlimited, how would you use it? The best way to squeeze that special thing into your schedule is to know what's important to you and make it a priority. That's what therapy can do. Therapy can help you find what matters to you so that you can do more of it. You can learn positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. You can get empowered to be the best version of yourself.
You can also nap.
You can also just nap. So if you're thinking about starting therapy, if you've never tried it, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/streamingthings today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress.
It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Streaming Things.
Spring is just around the corner, ladies and gentlemen, so how about we spring into action and give a special shout out to all of the patrons who keep the lights on over here at Streaming Things. And I want to give a special shout out to our super patrons for the month of March. Thank you, Stanton Valentino, Mattelstat, Bryce Coppin, Susie Callahan, Anthony Corona, Sunshine, Huckleberry Cauliflower, Ashley Hazen, Mike from New Hampshire, Brett X, Emily Scarano, Lil Tickler, Svento 7, Jay Scramo, Bluff Pum, AK Ashley Ray, Adam Busby, Wendy O'Loughlin, Jason Hawkins, Big Butthorn, Conrad, Kaylee Sampson, Rabbit Dog in a Barbie Car, Charlie Friday, Alexis Adler, Peaches, Emmy, Haley B, Joe Velez, John Collins, Amanda King, Trisha Bueller, Sun-Loving Mortal, Suzanne Rode, Jen Robinson, Kalisha Reeves, Aaron Armstrong, Kevin Strother, Ashley Powers, Stephen V, Casey McCain, and Enza. Thank you all so much for supporting Streaming Things, and let's get back to the show.
But Gizmo immediately busts out, climbs down a rope of paper clips, which
that was cute.
It's adorable. And Billy tells Kate that he's got a meeting and he wants her to get Gizmo. And she doesn't even like Gizmo. What the fuck? Like, you know,
she doesn't really know.
She's
Gizmo.
Not having that. She's not having a relationship with him. She just knows what happened.
Yeah.
And honestly, it's very unfair of Billy to put her in this position. Mm-hmm. I think so. I was upset for Phoebe Cates.
Yeah.
But she does remember the rules. She's like, don't get him wet. Don't feed him after midnight. And the third one.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever that is.
Sunlight will kill them.
Sunlight will kill them. That's the important one when you're fighting them. And then very quickly, she pulls, well, while she's being told all that, Gizmo's wandering around having a good old cute time.
Yeah.
And the janitor finds a faulty water fountain. And there is, I like this set piece a lot because it's like him trying to hide from the water. And then it gets shooting farther and farther and your expectations mounting. Ends up landing on like the easel and then dripping on his
drips
head.
On him, yeah.
He ends up wigging out like Boss Nass and little fur balls shooting everywhere.
Me so wet.
Yeah, and then we get. Are you supposed to believe that the some of the gremlins that come out, especially Mohawk Boy, Spike or whatever, like is it the same one? Like they seem to be angry at Gizmo. Like they're back.
They're not the same ones. No, they are different. Spike is the bad one in the first movie. This one that looks like Spike is actually called Mohawk. And then the other three, there's Lenny and George. Those are the smart and dumb ones. And then the wacky one with the weird eyeballs is called like Daffy.
Of Mice and Men.
Yeah.
Lenny and George.
Yeah. It's a Mice and Men joke, but yeah. And then the one with weird eyes is called Daffy, as like a Daffy Duck.
Like Duck.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. So they kind of push him in the ventilation shaft, but it looked like there was some like a, you fucking bastard, we're back kind of vibes to that. Mm-hmm.
I wonder, like, why is it that anytime that a Mogwai gets water on them and they procreate, do you call that procreation? I don't know. They
replicate.
Why are they always automatically bad? Like, why aren't they just like more cute little adorable gizmos?
That'd be so cool.
Like, I understand, like, if you eat, they're evil because they're evil, gross gremlin creatures now.
Yeah, but they're like nefarious that want to eat because they want to be that form.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I think Gizmo is honestly just one of a kind.
He's just a G.
He's the only nice one.
That's why they call him Gizmo. Yeah,
the G in Mogwai is capital. Or the G in Gizmo. Jesus Christ. It was right there.
And you went with Mogwai.
The one with the G in the middle. Yeah.
I'm proud of you.
That's why I got a podcast.
Yes.
Not a real job. They go to the Canadian restaurant. And then, yeah, she hits him with the foot job after he declines the chocolate mousse. And she gives him a kiss on his cheek, which leaves a big old bright red thing of lipstick there.
Mm-hmm.
Kate, meanwhile, had grabbed the wrong gizmo. It's
Daffy.
Daffy. His goofy ass. The practical effect with the eyes rolling around constantly is such a goofball move. I called him Goofy Gizmo.
That makes sense.
And then Billy comes home late with the lipstick on his face, and she's been dealing with this motherfucker for a while.
Oh, I'd be pissed.
Dude, she takes it so easy on him. What a sweetheart. Billy, you don't deserve her.
He's lucky that they're dealing with a literal like tiny crackhead in their house and the Futtermen show up. Because he would have gotten reamed.
Yeah, because
rightfully so.
Not in front of guests, though.
No.
Nope. So they bag up the beast, and then the Futtermen show up. They're there to visit. He's been in therapy and shit ever since the events of the first film.
Because he was the super xenophobic dude that, like,
He's been right, though. Gremlins are real.
The tractor, like, crushed through. Yeah. He was like, all the gremlins in your car.
Didn't we talk about in the episode if they died?
Yeah, we were wondering if they died or not. Yeah.
Yeah, I guess we didn't remember the sequel. Well, you hadn't seen it.
Yeah.
I'm being a dum-dum. So they're... we cut back to the other gremlins. They're fucking wheezing the juice in the ice cream shop.
Yeah.
Remember that? Wheezing the juice.
They're my spirit animals.
Billy wants to shut off the water to the whole building. Very smart. Very smart. So he's turning the valve to the left. Just going to point out that that's Lefty Lucy. You're turning more water on. What? Heavier flow.
Billy's an idiot.
He's not a handyman.
Yeah.
That's true.
He's not the brightest.
He didn't even know Marla wanted to bang.
Yeah.
He's just clueless.
I still don't know if he truly knows that she wants a bang.
To this day.
He's
like, she accidentally took her shoe off and played with my dick with her foot.
It's weird.
I didn't want to embarrass her, so I left.
Yeah. I was just trying to be a nice guy. I mean, I was in the Canadian themed restaurant. I had to be a nice guy.
That's true.
Sorry. And I left.
Sorry about the dick, eh? And then that security guy shows up. I recognize him from so many things. For sure, he was the limo driver friend in Blank Check. Deep cut.
The security guard?
Yeah, the security guard that shows up and bites him on the nose. Rick Ducommun.
Ducommun? He's in Spaceballs.
Dick-a-moon.
The Burbs. Scary movie. He's Cindy's dad in Scary Movie.
Oh, he's in The Burbs?
Yeah.
He's the neighbor.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yes. Okay, yeah. He's the neighbor. He's Art. Yeah.
I bet Joe Tante directed The Burbs, and we're both fucking idiot.
I think he did. Yeah,
he did.
Yeah.
We're totally dumb as shit. God, take us off the pod. Just nothing but Madison and Erica from now on out.
Yeah, seriously. Not even Andy.
That's why there's so many. No. That's why there's so many Burbs actors, buddy. Because it's Joe Dante.
Yeah, Joe Dante. He's getting his friend's work.
Anywho's he. Rick Ducommun is that gets his nose bitten.
I wrote in my notes. I think it would have fit the vibe of this movie. So when the gremlin bites him, I wrote in my notes, I really wish he would have shot it.
Like the gremlin?
Killed it.
Yeah, for sure.
I would have laughed.
Or Billy. Just shot him in the face.
Oops.
And then took Phoebe Cates and gave her a good life and treated her right.
Yeah. Like, I won't cheat on you with Marla. You're an awesome partner, Phoebe Cates.
Just saying. And then at this point, Kate meets his hot boss. And there's like that little... It's my boss. And that's when she's like, you're going to be in big trouble if we survive this.
Oh, because he gets arrested and they hatch overnight and she bails him out. And
he comes back like the next day. But he tries to tell the security boss, Forrester, about the gremlins. I love the bit where they walk by the TV station and it says the Archery Channel and Robin Hood walks out shaking his head. It's so fucking silly.
Dumb jokes like that. It's great.
And then the cooking show lady that cooks with microwaves is her thing.
Microwave with Marge.
Whenever you're making a bologna and bean dip roll up.
All the food she talks about sounds disgusting.
You never had a bologna and bean dip roll up?
No. Man, I've had like a salami and cream cheese roll up.
Me neither, buddy. Me neither. But then one of the gremlins bursts out of the console in the control room.
Oh, I love this scene because he's trying to tell Forrester and the security people like about the monsters and he's explaining them the rules. They're all laughing and they're kind of being audience. It's very meta because the audience of gremlins would be like, well, what if they're on a plane and they flew through a different time zone? And
I'd never thought about any of that, but that's very true.
What if they eat food and they got something stuck in their teeth and then that thing, they swallow that like after midnight? Are they still monsters?
I didn't make the fucking rules. It's true, though. Those are questions that need to be asked.
But then the one just rips out of the computer and just bites a guy.
It's true. It's always midnight somewhere.
That puppet of Mohawk, I got to say, that gremlin, it's fucking rad. That thing's cool looking.
It's very metal, I think is what you would say.
But Microwave with Marge is making tuna noodle cheese product surprise.
Why wouldn't you?
And Marge
is a boozer. Can we talk about that?
Oh yeah.
She's putting a little sherry in there. I always use a little extra and she's always taking sips of it before she pours it in. And then she's got a full on bottle of liquor at one point, just chugging it and pouring some in.
Yeah.
Go Marge.
Get it.
Marge and in charge. They fucking hate microwaves. I love that callback to the first movie too. Yeah, that's what I mean about these memories that they somehow have, because it's like they bust out, they fuck with Marge a little bit. They see the microwave and they get super angry and start trying to blow it up because one of them died in a microwave.
Yeah. The first one. Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't pick up that was like a memory thing. I thought they were like purposely trying to cause a short to make the sprinklers go off, but I don't know if they would even know that that's an option for them to do.
The brainy one would.
That's true, but he's not there yet.
Maybe, but I think it's just like a elbow in the ribs for the audience.
Oh, but yeah, for sure. Like, not member?
Nothing, yeah, nothing to think about.
Member as far microwave?
As in universe. But they blow up the microwave and then cause the sprinklers to go off, which I was looking at all those really expensive multi-camera cameras lights. Too, yeah. Man. That's what I was thinking about. Like, those are like $100,000 a piece.
I love that we got to see how gremlins multiply, because in the first one, they spike fill in the pool and the pool just kind of bubbles up and there's fog and lights coming out of the pool, but you don't actually see how they multiply. So in this one, they still have like the little balls come out of their back, but they, you get their like see through the like, skin and you can see
translucent.
Like the embryo of the new gremlin. And
yeah.
They just come out fully like, I'm a gremlin.
I want to play poker and not kill really anybody, but fuck shit up is what I do.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're kind of cool. They just like to fucking party. I had friends like these gremlins. You know what I mean? They just fuck everything up. They break your microwave. They're always trying to kiss you, but they're kind of harmless. They'll bite you.
Yeah. You don't want to hang out with them too long, but it could be a good time.
Yeah. Every once in a blue moon on a Saturday.
Yeah.
What's up, fuckers? You know?
Right.
Let's get weird. I was a gremlin. What am I talking about? I was that friend.
Which of these gremlins are you like?
The most?
Yeah.
Not the brainy one. Probably Daffy.
Daffy. That makes sense.
Or the one that's with Forrester on top, you know, the lady one.
The lady one. Yeah. 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 Yeah, I could see you. If somehow Greta Gremlin and Daffy got mixed up, it would be you. Ooh.
Is that her name, Greta?
I think it's Greta Gremlin, yeah.
Yeah, so then in the control room, they realize that there's the pest infestation monitor is off the charts. Well, maybe they're rats? I don't think so.
Whatever they are, they're going to respect the chain of command.
I love it. And she looks at him like, what?
That's what I'm talking about. Like, the people say the weirdest shit in this movie, but the movie like has a character that typically is like, what?
No, it's great. Okay. It's tonally spot on.
Yeah.
And then they're in the elevator. The gremlins are. And when the fire alarm goes off, dude,
the fire alarm kills me. Fire, man's a mortal enemy.
Please exit.
Oh my God. Yeah. I love it.
I was thinking about you when I heard that, when I saw that scene, it was money, baby. They're on the elevator. Clamp, it cuts to Clamp. He's just in his office, just bored. And I love that about like the super wealthy man that's finally checking on one of his businesses. And he's like, what should I do? I'll send some memos.
I love when he's like, did you shred the other documents?
Yeah.
Do we have any more to shred?
Yeah. No, sir. And then one of the gremlins puts a mousetrap in her sandwich and she's just gone.
Yeah.
We can assume maybe she's dead.
Maybe she's dead. Maybe she got her finger smashed and she ran in fear.
I feel like it was her tongue or something. Because they put it in the sandwich. Yeah,
could have been.
But yeah, when he comes out, the gremlin is dressed as his secretary, just typing away. And that old word, I don't even think that's a computer, right? That's like a word processor or whatever.
Oh, I didn't look at it, to be honest.
It's such a tiny monitor. It had to be. But it attacks Clamp, hurts him, bites his hand. He ends up shredding the fucking gremlin into like green goop.
Not my tie.
Nah. And Billy and Forrester show up and they're like, what the hell's going on? Right. So they're going to take care of the infestation. We cut.
Yeah. Billy's like, I came from the laboratory, and Clamp's like, I was never a fan of the laboratory attendant. We could have had three shrinks and a plastic surgeon in there. Yeah,
that's right. But no, poor Kate is on the elevator and she's being beset on all sides by gremlins. One of them's like drilling through the wall of the elevator somehow. Yeah.
Then when all the arms come out and are like reaching for her, it's just creepy.
Yeah, poor Kate. She didn't deserve this. And then, but luckily they're dumb and they're like making the elevator go down, smash themselves in the elevator shaft, which would have killed her, but it's fine.
Definitely would have killed her. I assume my headcanon is she was protected by the sheer amount of gremlin bodies, took a lot of the brunt.
That's true.
I love like all the green goo that just erupts from the floor when it lands.
And then the lady in the hall, we'll just get the next one because this one doesn't work, bitch.
Will you?
Clamp says, no press, no cops, no nothing. We'll handle the bugs.
Did you like the Leonard Maltin cameo?
Which one was that?
Leonard Maltin's the film reviewer who was reviewing the first Gremlins movie.
Yes. I like the, they're beating the shit out of the critic.
Well, apparently, so I was I couldn't find his original review. To be honest, I didn't look that hard.
Was he a real critic who panned it?
Oh, Leonard Maltin. Yeah, Leonard Maltin took the place of Gene Siskel on Siskel and Ebert when Siskel died.
Okay.
So like he's like a big movie critic, and apparently he panned the first Gremlins, and what he's saying is like from his actual review. And so when the Gremlins like start attacking him, I was like, oh, it's a 10.
I thought it was just a actor they hired to be a critic stand in.
No, that's actual Leonard Maltin.
Wow.
Yeah.
He was like, fuck it. I'll take the money.
Sure. Well, get that bag, Leonard.
We cut to Martin and Lewis and the dweeb who are in the lab still. They see the Gremlin and he's showing them his new vegetable medley serum, and then the gremlin drinks it and becomes a vegetable gremlin, as alluded to by Jordan Peele in the skit. And the other one drinks the brain hormone and becomes the genius. What is it, Lenny?
Oh, no. So Lenny and George are completely different characters than the brain gremlin.
Mm.
Yeah.
So we get the...
This is just called the brain gremlin.
Yeah, we get the brainiac gremlin. The genius gremlin is what I called it because I'm smarter.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah. And then the others get wings. And then the smart gremlin gives him genetic sunblock so that he can fly in the daytime.
Yeah.
Very briefly wreak havoc on the city.
And I love how the brain gremlin is voiced by Tony Randall. Like,
it sounds so... I love it so much.
It's, yeah. It's just, oh, hello, chap. I'm just a normal man of the genus Formus. I will. It's so fun.
We're just normal men.
Innocent men.
Burst through the wall and it makes the Batman symbol. I lost it.
Great. And then Christopher Lee has an amazing line where he's like, this is a catastrophe. All they have to do is eat 3 or 4 children and it'll be appalling controversy.
That's right.
3 or 4 children. And if they eat 3 or 4 children.
2, no big deal. 3?
No, 1, no one cares. 2, 3 or 4 children though.
All over the news.
Mm-hmm.
And there's chaos all throughout the building. We get the return of the Flasher.
Yeah.
And Phoebe Cates just kicks him. She's sick of that shit.
Yeah.
Stop showing me your dick.
He flashed her in the first one, right?
Yeah.
And then we find out why she hates the Flasher later on in the movie.
Well, she speaks for all women in that moment where she's just over this.
Oh, yeah.
Stop it. I don't want to see your ween.
Yeah. But she has she has another backstory moment later on in the movie.
I don't recall it.
We'll get to it. It's hilarious. Yeah.
And this is where we get the fire alarm. I'm so sorry for jumping the gun earlier. My notes for this are ha 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 ha. I fucking love that fire alarm.
Fire.
We cut to the Futtermans out at the cathedral, which he doesn't appreciate very much. He's not into the old style buildings. But he runs into the bat gremlin and he's actually vindicated by this. He's like, I'm not crazy. This shit's crazy.
They're real.
Yeah.
But he like dunks it into concrete and it flies away and becomes a gargoyle.
Just solidifies immediately into the gargoyle.
This movie's fucking insane. I love it.
We cut back and Dr. Catheter is freaking out.
The horror.
Gremlins are breaking the fourth wall in the theater in this next scene. The whole movie stops for a second because they've gotten the reel and they're like doing like little
bunny rabbit. Dude, this got me. When I was watching, because
you thought your TV was messing up.
The film starts messing up a bit, and I was like, "What? What's going on?"
Oh, you thought your film was messing up?
Yeah. Well, obviously, when the film does like the burned film effect, yeah. I was like, "Oh, this is a trick." But it kind of warbles a little bit before that.
That's true.
And then like, as someone who worked in a movie theater, this cracked me up because, like you said, the gremlins are like, "Yeah." It's supposed to be, if you're watching this in a movie theater for the first time, you would think there are gremlins in the theater fucking with the projector. And it's such a genius little meta joke to throw in. And eventually the one's like, nudie, nudie, nudie. And they put on a porno, which prompts a woman and her daughter to go out. Again, this is still outside of the movie.
Yeah.
She goes to a movie theater manager who's like over it. And she's like, I can't believe you would show that type of stuff. He's like, madam, we only play the movies. We don't make them.
Did you have to use that line a bunch?
All the fucking time, dude. And then the projection is like, oh, they're going crazy. You got to get them to stop them. So the manager's like, I'll take care of this. What does he do? Does he go to the projector room? No. He goes back into the auditorium and gets Hulk Hogan. I mean,
you've got him in residence.
Fucking Hulk Hogan. And then Hulk Hogan cuts a wrestling promo on do you think the Gremsters have what it takes to take down the Hulkster, dude? I could not believe my fucking eyes. I was dying. But apparently that when this movie came out on VHS, they had different versions of this gag where I think there was a bit, here, I wrote it down. there was a version where they did something with John Wayne. Even though John Wayne had passed away by this point, they used like a John Wayne movie and they had someone over like overdub him to pretend like, hey, what are you doing, gremlin?
Sure.
Yeah. But there was like another version. But apparently, like if you watch this on VHS, it was different than what we saw. We saw the theater version, which I love this. It's fucking Hulk Hogan.
I bet they made one that like fit more in line with it being a video.
Right. Exactly. Know? Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah.
Nudie.
It's just like this woman running through a garden with her top off. Nudie.
Oh, but apparently the whole thing with the woman complaining to the theater manager was actually something that happened to Joe Dante. He was in a movie theater and a woman came up to him with her daughter and was complaining to him about how Gremlins was too adult for her daughter. But the daughter really wanted to go back in the theater and keep watching it and actually ran away from the mom and hid in the theater. And they had to go find the daughter who really wanted to keep watching Gremlins.
He probably was like, this is amazing.
Yeah.
I know who my audience is.
Yep.
Yeah. So old Fred, I forgot to mention the guy on the old tour Fred. Earlier that was in Kate's tour that wouldn't stop taking photos.
All the really stereotypical Japanese tourists that loves cameras.
Yep. And then he comes in and is very shortly, but old Fred's in the control room and I've my note, cause he wants to be like, I'm going to document this. Fuck it. But my note is he finds the camera lovingest motherfucker who ever lived. Yes. I am a camera.
Great line.
We see sexy Gremlin, who is Greta Gremlin.
Greta Gremlin. Yeah.
Briefly, more chaos is unfolding in the splice of life. One of the guys takes that, like liquid electricity or whatever they called it, bioelectric juice, and drinks it and becomes the electric gremlin. Another one's got, is it Spike or Mohawk that has an Uzi, I think. One of them does.
Oh yeah, because they're trying to get into the weapons cabinet that Christopher Lee has, but yeah. Mohawk already has them.
Yep, and he starts opening fire on Billy.
The electric one zaps and kills Christopher Lee.
Mm-hmm.
Gone too soon, R.I.P.
Clamp sees Fred broadcasting and he's so confused. A, he doesn't want the press to know, but then B, he's like, Dracula? Because he has no context.
He's so dumb.
Yeah. Well, that, and he's like, I get it. It's like, what?
Dracula?
But yeah, Gizmo, meanwhile, is having a training montage. He's working out.
To be war.
Rambo and mixed with Rocky style.
You got to become war.
And they think that Murray is crazy as shit outside because he's trying to get in the building to help. Now there's gremlins in there. You gotta let me in there. But he's like, no, I'm not crazy. God damn it. Spike or Mohawk, Jesus, drinks the spider juice, becomes the spider gremlin.
Mm-hmm. Creepy.
The boss. They trap the electric gremlin in the phone. Yeah. And all the way up in Clamp's office.
And I love how he's trapped in the phone, but it's got that waiting music.
It's because they put him on hold. That's how they trapped him.
And he's just like, no.
Yeah. And I love the bit where he's like, all right, it's time to play the tape. I thought I would never have to, because he gives up completely. And it's the Clamp News Network's end of civilization. But more importantly, we hope you enjoyed life.
Apparently this was a real thing that CNN had.
What?
Yeah,
an end of civilization tape?
CNN had an end of civilization tape that would only be played if it was confirmed that civilization was going to end. And so they made a joke, because that's such an absurd thing to have.
Who cares
so they're
the
like,
TV at
well,
this point.
We're definitely making that a joke. And I thought Clamp is like tearing up.
He's like saluting it and crying. Beautiful, isn't it?
Yeah.
And at this point, Billy gets the idea to fool the gremlins into thinking the sun has gone down. By fast forwarding the clocks by 3 hours, which will be in real time, will be 4:20 when they're supposed to drop the ball. I don't know if that's a weed joke or if that had not developed yet.
I hope it is.
I appreciated it regardless. Developer save city. I love it. Love it. So I finally get to use my secret exit.
That everyone sees him immediately.
Even though he's never been in that building before.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Wait, what?
Clamp's never been there before.
What do you mean? Never been where?
At his own tower.
He's at the top of the tower.
But the first time but the first time he shows up, he's like, guys, I'm going to start being around a lot more. And what's that cabinet? And who are you? Like, he's clearly like never there.
Okay.
But he's got this secret exit that he's been dying to use.
The building's been built for a while.
I saw it on the plans and I've been dying to use it.
Yeah. I want this.
Yeah. So he exits to the street.
I just thought the news people immediately see him.
Mr. Clam.
Like, ah, oh, shit.
Marla runs into the web, Mohawk's web downstairs, and just gets kind of stuck there. Gizmo's still doing his training montage, and Gizmo becomes full Rambo, puts the headband on. It's time to fucking go.
Meanwhile,
the gremlins are having like a full on cocktail party at this point, having a great time. And Fred is interviewing the one that can talk. The genius one.
Genius gremlin.
We want what anyone else desires.
We just want civilization. Now look at this little guy here. And then he just like shoots. Now, was that civilized? No. Clearly not.
That guy can hang out. And the clamps outside covering the windows to pull the ruse off. Meanwhile, Billy has been tied up. I called him Goober. Is that Daffy?
That is Daffy. You're talking about the dental chair scene?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's Daffy.
He's been tied up by him. Kate runs into Marla, who's caught in the web. That's when Marla comes clean. Like, I was trying to fuck your boyfriend. It's not a big deal. Let me out.
It's not a big deal.
And then Kate's like, that's fair. He is hot, and cuts her out. Girl power. And that's when the spider gremlin shows up.
I love how in the 80s and 90s, if there was ever anything spider related, they used that same sound effect. It sounds like cicadas. Because it was like, that's the spider noise.
Yeah. Arachnophobia. I'd have to go back and check. But I bet it's got it.
Probably does at some point.
And then Gizmo fires his burning Rambo arrow, which is a pencil.
Yeah.
It sets the whole.
What happened to him? I guess he finally had enough.
And then we get time to stop for an amazing musical number.
Oh, I'm not letting you skip this joke.
Okay.
Because that they're all like, oh, what are we going to do? There's so many gremlins. And Murray's like, did Washington give up? No. Did Lincoln give up? No. And Phoebe Cates goes, don't even talk to me about Lincoln. Something terrible happened to me in my childhood the day before Lincoln's birthday. You see, I was in a park and a man in a raincoat came up to me. And they're like, okay, Phoebe, we don't have time for that, because it's making fun of the whole, like, my dad got stuck in the chimney at Santa Claus.
Oh,
dark, yeah. Backstory.
Dude, that was insane.
That's one of the most insane things ever put to celluloid.
Yeah.
And I love how they start going down that path that she has a traumatic memory about Abe Lincoln's birthday.
Don't even get me started about Lincoln.
But that's why she hates the flashy guy. Because apparently someone flashed assaulted her the day before Abe Lincoln's birthday.
Dang.
47 years ago.
Somehow I missed all of that.
Really?
Yeah.
As soon as she did the dramatic turn away from everybody, but towards the camera, yeah, and started, I have a terrible memory about Abraham Lincoln's birthday. I was cackling like, oh my God, they're doing it. They're making fun of that scene.
They're self-aware of the chimney,
yes,
scene.
Yes. Yes.
But then we get a fantastic musical number. The gremlins do a great,
yes,
job. I didn't catch why the whole pull the shades off thing doesn't work for the sunlight. What happens to Clamp's plan?
Oh, because it gets overcast and starts storming outside.
Oh no.
And so like there's no sunlight.
Mm.
Yeah.
So then they decide to electrocute them. But so he tells Murray to spray them all, which is a ballsy move because they're all replicating like crazy. There'll be thousands of them if, mm-hmm, this plan doesn't work. And then luckily Kate does in fact know how to transfer a call that's on hold in the boss's office upstairs to the lobby. Mm-hmm. It'd be funny if she didn't, because she's like, I'm pretty sure I can. Yeah.
Yeah.
Actually,
I don't know.
Yeah.
This isn't even a phone.
She pulls a Palpatine. I don't actually know how to do that, but together we can learn.
I'm too weak.
I'm a different Palpatine
I'm
thing.
Too weak. Weak.
So he electrocutes all of them into a giant goo puddle. At that point,
I love the one. It's clearly the Wicked Witch because it's got like a little,
yeah,
witch hat.
I'm melting. Clamp charges in with the cavalry through, tries the first two revolving doors and then ends up coming through the open door. Then he slips in the goo.
I do have one question. Do you think is the electric one still alive?
No.
Like what would happen to the electric one?
He just would dissolve. Okay. You know, he had nowhere to go.
Okay.
Hmm.
I don't know.
Only one that's alive is the sexy one. Fred gets made an anchor. It's a good ending for him. He gets his job back better than ever.
Think avuncular.
And then he decides to promote Billy. He wants to pay him for his design, probably an exorbitant amount of money to design his old hometown, essentially. I love this. It's just our hometown.
The traditional community. It's Clamp Corners, where life slows down to a crawl.
You make a place for things come.
Mm-hmm. We're going to build the biggest, most sensational, quiet little town.
I love the moment where one of his flunkies shoots his shotgun at the floor. What the fuck is that?
It moved.
Oh,
moved,
okay. Sir. Okay. Carry on. I just realized that his at the end of this movie, that the logo outside the statue
is a clamp
of the world.
Yeah. It's honestly a really good design. Like his clamp logo. Yeah.
Clamp in the world. You want me to clamp them, boss?
But let me clamp them.
But yeah, so then after all this happy ending stuff, it cuts to the office upstairs and Forrester is still stuck because he calls down for help. And he's like, well, we'll be up there whenever we can, man. The elevators are shut down. And he's up there.
Why don't you take the day off? Actually, take half a day off.
He's been fucking the gremlin, I guess. He's got kisses all over. Because now the gremlin wants to get married.
Because she's in a wedding dress. She's making kissy faces. And then Robert Picardo is just kind of looking at her in fear. But then it's like.
It ends with him being like, I might not hate it.
Yeah. It's going to be a while before anyone gets up here.
This might be awesome.
This could be our little secret.
Bonkers way to end a wild movie. And that's the end.
Holy shit. Stephen the Fifth, thank you so much for suggesting this.
Maybe it's a movie that Steve's loved.
God, I've adored this so much. I had such a fun time.
This is like the happiest you've been ever on the show.
I literally called like Erica the night of and like had an hour long discussion. Like, this movie's no fun. I went to work the next day. Y'all seen Gremlins 2, the new batch from 1990?
They're like, yes.
Wasn't it great? And they're like, I mean, yeah, sure.
Nobody shared your enthusiasm.
Like high-fiving everybody in the office.
Right? The electric one?
Dude.
Hulk shows up.
And then there's one that's a vegetable gremlin, and then it appears in the salad bar later towards the movie. Fucking genius.
Because he's vegetables.
Yeah, yeah.
Genius. Thank you, Joe Dante. Thank you, Stephen the Fifth. Thank you to everybody listening. I hope you enjoyed that as much as we did. We're out of time. We've got to go return some videotapes. But my name is Kit.
And I'm Steve.
And this was Streaming Things. Happy streaming.
Noody, noody.
Noody, noody, noody.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.